get the piano tuned today, so thank you for noticing. Could you tell, Mrs. Seaman? You could tell? No. Mrs. Seaman, could you tell? No. No, okay. Mrs. Hodges, you could hear it. Well, we heard it being tuned. That was a fun, yeah. Ding! 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 Form of Chinese torture. Matthew chapter 6. Appreciate our musicians doing what many of us could not do. Matthew chapter number 6 in verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Hey, if there's one thing you don't want to be, a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? Doing one thing, saying another, right? Or saying one thing and doing another. He says, hey, don't do that. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men, he says. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know what they got? They got a reward. They got the accolades of mankind. Say, is there anything better? Verse 6. But thou, so we're not trying to be like the hypocrites, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, as opposed to under the streets. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee, the Bible says, openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this passage. And Lord, thank you that you taught us something here. Lord, help us to not be as the hypocrites are, but Lord, seek your heart, seek your ear. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that you'd teach us something about prayer tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you, what lessons have you learned from praying, what would you say? What are the things that God has taught you in your quest of prayer, in your adventure of prayer, in your time of prayer? What lessons, how about this now? What lessons can you teach about prayer? I love checking in with our Bible school students. Hey, what are you reading? What's going on? What are your textbooks? And I think first year students over at Vision, one of their classes is prayer and fasting. Is that correct? And they are required to read E.M. Bounds' complete work on prayer. And I ask them, I say, how's that going? Oh, it's great, Pastor Russo. And you know, we get through the textbook answers, and I ask them some more detailed questions, and we get into it a little bit. If you were to write a book on prayer, how many volumes would you need? Well, I could tell you everything I know about prayer in about 30 seconds. That says something about our prayer life. E.M. Bounds took 7 books to explain what he knew on prayer. What lessons have you learned? What lessons could you teach on prayer? Tonight we're going to have a lesson on prayer. Lest we get off on things. You know, I love instructional class. I love learning. Today we were in a school staff training class. We sat through 4 instructional classes, and in one of the classes, they reminded us, no matter where you're at, you should always be learning. They challenged the listener, the watcher today as we were in those instructional and staff training classes. What books are you reading right now? That's a good thought. Yes, I graduated from school. Maybe you graduated from college. Maybe went on to get a master's, a higher level. Maybe I have a cousin who's going for her doctorate in physics. She's exciting. And what lessons, what are you learning? What lessons are you grabbing hold of? What lessons could you teach on prayer? Are you furthering your knowledge of God, or okay, we pray at the dinner table. Hey, we're going to learn a lesson here tonight. I love learning. I try and read multiple books at a time. I'll read something light, like a biography, and then I'll read a theological book that challenges my thought and my walk with the Lord. Can't have two theological books. They blend and then my brain turns to mush. But tonight we're going to get a lesson. We're going to get a lesson from the greatest teacher to ever teach. He's going to help us with something. He's going to correct us on some things. As I told you, I like to read books, and sometimes I think I'm doing well, and then I read, and I get challenged, and I go, oh, I got to fix that. I got to work on that. And tonight we're going to open up the scriptures to this very simple passage, and we're going to dissect verse 6. A lesson on prayer tonight. But when thou prayest, point number one, we see the importance of prayer. We could read all the books we want on prayer, but honestly, the best way to exercise the thought of prayer is to actually pray. And it gives us the instruction. It says, when thou prayest. When was the last time you spent some time in prayer? Not just helping the kids to go through a routine at the end of the night. Not just before the consume the blessings of God or food. But when was the last time you spent some time in prayer? When was the last time you scheduled or consciously turned something off or put something away and made an effort of just speaking to the Lord? Was it today? Was it when the tragedy hit some months, some years, some weeks ago? Was it when you really needed something? And those are all great times to pray, but when I read this passage, it says, when thou prayest, it's telling me that I ought to be praying maybe a little bit more than I do. Look at Philippians chapter 4. When our family's on the ropes, that's when we break out the prayer. When the one is ill, and hey, there's no better thing, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But shouldn't the frequency of our prayer be more than when we're just up against the wall? When we're backed into a corner and we have nowhere to go? Shouldn't it be more often? In Philippians chapter 4, it says this in verse 6. It says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not just on difficult days. Not when the bill pile is higher than the account. Not just when the headache hits. But always. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, the more dedicated we are to prayer, the more focused our mind will be, it says. Isn't that what that says? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Say, how do I get that? How do I get peace? It's only through prayer. Our lesson in prayer tonight begins with the importance of prayer. When thou prayest. As we go back to Matthew chapter 6. But thou, when thou prayest, it tells us what we should do. Bought a truck a couple months ago, 3 months ago. I think it was. Where's Pastor Steeman? Is he in here? He left. I think he went down to teens. He asked what I was preaching. I told him, and then he said, I'm out here. So, a few months ago, drove down to New York City, picked up the truck. It has 175,000 miles on it. Runs great, and I'm thankful for it. But they say every 100,000 miles, you need to change a timing belt on a Honda. Is that correct, Mr. Parrott? Mr. Parrott, a previous Honda owner. And because it has a certain engine, if that, which is a great engine, but so I've been watching videos, extremely exciting videos of how to change a timing belt yourself. I don't want to. And the more videos I watch, but I'm learning things. Hey, make sure you mark it. Paint all the spots. And right, Brother Burkhardt, do you paint the thing? Or, no, because you know stuff. So I don't, yeah. And there's little notches, and you got to do this. And then, and you know, all these guys that are doing these videos have these in-home lifts, you know, that, you know, I have the... you know, this one, not even the this one. I do the crank one, the one that's in the back by the spare tire. And it gets you up this high, and your face is this close. And so these guys are like, yeah, and all their bolts are just like, woof, and they come right off, and new vehicles. And that's it. You know, 8-minute video on changing your timing belt. That's about how long it takes, right? 8 minutes? Plus or minus? Yeah, plus. I'm learning stuff. You know what? When we read this passage, we're learning a lesson on prayer. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, it says. Number one, we see the importance of prayer when thou prayest. Number two, we see our place of prayer. Enter into thy closet. If you walked into my closet, I have a shared closet. I don't have none of the space is my own. I walk into my closet, you'll see a little basket with all my ties neatly folded and organized, and there's that. And then if you look to the side, all my dress shirts that are nice and ironed, and I appreciate Sarah doing that, and my suits, and then dress pants, and shoes on the multi-rack over in the corner. It's my personal closet. When you walk in, you learn something about me. You walk in and go, nope, no athlete here. No, there's no sport clothing there. I don't have dry fit or, you know, any of that. I have an old pair of sneakers, and obviously by my appearance, you understand. And that's where he sends us for prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. The word closet only shows up 2 times in the Bible, once here in the Old Testament. But I just thought of, why would he send me to my closet? Well, in my closet, it's a personal place. That's where my personal belongings are found. Your personal belongings are found in your closet. Look at Psalm 34. We'll look at 2 verses and maybe take some more. I don't know where you went today, but I can guarantee you saw things that I did not see today. So how do you know? Because you weren't right with me. Even if we walk side by side all day, some of us were in the same area. You know, the Amy's back here. We spend a lot of time in the same building today, but their perspective and my perspective were quite different. I was up in the office taking phone calls and answering and trying to help some people out and trying to be an encouragement, a blessing. And they're teaching little 1 year or first graders how to make the th sound. You know, that's their perspective. And you know what? You know what we picked up today? We each picked up cares and burdens that we saw. The Lord allowed us to see some people and see some things. And you know what? Tonight, what should you do? You should take those cares to your own personal place and talk to the Lord about them, because you witnessed something today. You experienced something today. You saw something today. The Lord placed something heavy on your heart today. Placed a burden, placed a care, showed you somebody else's burden and care that I didn't see. So you go to a personal place, a closet, if you will, shut out from the world. The Bible says this in Psalm 34 and verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. A verse I've gone to quite a bit lately in my studies here. But even though you can go into a small room, maybe your closet's different than mine, but you can't fit too many people in my closet. We've tried, and we're bumping into people. Sarah's stuff is on the left. My stuff is, well, some of her stuff is on the right, too, but most of my stuff is on the right. And if we're both in there, well, we're banging into each other. Maybe you have one of those walk-in closets. Bud, do you have a walk-in closet? A little bit. No. All right. Anybody have a walk-in closet? Those are nice. All right, very good. Anna, you have a walk-in closet? Nice. You know what? It tells us here, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. I can get into this little spot. Anybody have a bathroom in their closet? Probably not. Maybe Mr. Bauman works for some people maybe that have a bathroom in their closet. But there you are in your little spot and you feel like, oh, I'm all alone. No, actually quite the opposite. The Bible tells us this, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And when we do things His way and how He likes, you know what? He's pleased with those things and He sees that. He actually prefers us not to go out into the highways and make a big scene of ourselves about our walk with the Lord. He says, no, that would be somewhat hypocritical. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take all your cares and all the burdens that you've seen throughout the day and that are heavy on your heart, and I want you to get away and get alone with just me and you. The lesson on prayer, number one, we see the importance. Number two, we see the place. In the closet, a personal place, a place where our personal belongings are found. This is where the things that you've seen and are burdened with, you can take the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 5, or Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans 8, 5 says this, "And they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Romans 8, 6 now, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." As we read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, He compels us to take everything to Him in prayer. And what was the response? What is the answer? What does He give us? He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. And when we look here and we're spiritually minded, see, when I'm alone in the closet, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to gain favor of anybody. I'm just taking the burdens that the Lord has placed on my heart and just pouring out my heart before God. It's just me and the Lord. It's a spiritual time, and the result is peace. Both times we saw peace. Our lesson on prayer, number one, importance. Number two, we see the place. Look at the very nature of prayer. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Move quickly through the latter part of this message, but it's an important lesson. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret." Here we see a secretness. What is this? This is an intimate relationship. This is a heart connection. Go with me to Matthew chapter 14. There ought to be some things that are just between you and God. Are there things in your life that only God knows about? Now, there's a phrase that we wear our heart on our sleeve, and there's some honesty to that. I see some place in that. I don't think you should necessarily pour your heart out to every person you see on the street. But there ought to be some things that are just between you and God. And in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, "And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray." This is Christ. "And when the evening was come, He was there alone." There ought to be some alone time. The very nature of it was a secret time. He used the word secret in Matthew chapter 6. "What thou prayest in secret." Even the closest person in your life, your best friend, a spouse, a friend, something like that, maybe a sibling. Hey, there's got to be a something in your life that it's just a secret between you and God. Say, is it good to keep secrets? Well, that's what it says. There ought to be some alone time, a real relationship just between the creation and the Creator. I know, James, confess your faults one to another, and there's accountability there. I understand that, but could we find maybe a balance in it all? Number one, when thou prayest, we see the importance. Number two, the place. Number three, we see the nature of it. It ought to be intimate. It ought to be secret. Number four, we see the direction in which our prayer goes. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, pray to thy Father. To thy Father. And we know this. We know that He hears us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I love this verse. Ephesians chapter 3. I might read a little more than just the verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse. Let's look at verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Verse 14, Ephesians 3, 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In which direction do my prayers go? Hey, the minute I need help, do I call mom? Do I call dad? Do I call... How about the Father? I bow my knees unto thy Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And it goes on to talk about understanding the love of God and the all that is encompassed in that. But which way do your requests go? When you hit a hard time, when a situation comes up, do you retreat to your closet intimately between you and God? Or does immediately the phone come out? Facebook opens up. Oh, you would not believe what just happened to me. I believe it. No offense, but I just don't care. So often we just vent all the time. You check Facebook. I was talking to Pastor Seaman. He's like, yeah, I hadn't been on Facebook in a long time. I opened it up for 5 minutes. I had closed it down and said, I remember why I don't go on. It's just a lot of people venting. There's a lot of people just ranting and raving. How about you take your petitions to the Lord? Pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. Look at now. And here we have the result. Number one, we saw the importance. Number two, we saw the place. Number three, we saw the nature. Number four, we saw the direction. And number five, we see the result. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In verse 18, it says this in the same chapter, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He makes a habit of what you do in your private time and in pure time with just you and Him, somehow that's made known. Those secret things become public, and you know who gets glory from that? God does. Otherwise, you'll have your reward. You'll have your accolades. You'll have your praise of men. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's better that the Lord reward thee. God is pleased when you do things for only Him. Let's look at two more passages. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Sounds similar to prayer, if you ask me. To humble yourself, to put yourself in that closet and kneel down before the face of God. And therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. We have, as you know, 5 children. And they're all at different places. Sam has his permit, and he's working on, we're going to be calling so he can get his license. And, you know, I think it's a good thing for him to be able to do that. He's responsible enough. He can handle that. He has good confidence behind the wheel. He's made good decisions. I've sat there and watched that and feel good about that. And I would like all of them to eventually get their license and eventually move out and grow up, right? That's the plan. I don't know how that always works, but that's the plan. But some just aren't ready for that, right? Like, Hudson would like to do that, to drive. But he's not ready for that. And sometimes we come to the Lord and we make petitions before the Lord. We're just not ready. How about we let God and understand this and trust the Lord that God's timing is always perfect timing. That we can bring these petitions before God. And although we may feel like we are ready, we'll let him work out the time schedule. We be faithful. We'll just let him work out all the details. I'm just going to humble myself and just bring my petitions before God and just talk to the Lord, just me and him, and just let him know where I'm at. And by faith, allow him to lead and guide. Look at Acts chapter 10. We'll finish with this thought. And we'll have a time of prayer. And then Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, there was a certain man, we looked at this this past week. There was a certain man in Caesarea named, or called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. Sounds like a right formula, if you ask me. If we jump over to verse 30 of that same chapter, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and in the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. What are you trying to show us? There was a man in his house, closed up, just praying to the Lord that God would work in his life and answer his prayer, and all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. God's perfect timing. There was a vision that he saw. Sent him to a direction. You know what? Why don't you, instead of trying to manipulate the situation to make it all work, you just retreat back to the closet. That you go back to that secret place and just talk to the Lord, just you and him. Make it known, express your thoughts, your burdens, the things that you've seen, the burdens and the cares that God has placed on your heart, the maybe the guidance for your own children, the direction for your own life, again, the maybe the sins which you struggle with. And just talk to the Lord and let him figure out all the details. Well, I prayed about it, now I'm going to go move on it. How about you let God move on it. Let God reward. Let God handle the answers. Simple lesson on prayer tonight. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 again. Matthew 6:6 says this, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Began by asking a question. What lessons have you learned from prayer? What lessons could you teach on prayer? If we brought you into a Sunday school class and said, okay, for the next number of weeks, you need to relay the stories or the instances and the lessons that God has taught you. So why are you saying it like that? Just to challenge you, what have you learned? What do you know? What could you reiterate? What? And if those things aren't there, maybe there's a lack of this. Maybe the when thou prayest. Maybe you're not doing it right. Let's be humble in our conversation with the Lord. Let's try and learn from this. I gave you some prayer requests tonight. Asked you to pray for Brother Jabisky and Brother Bayer. Can we take just 5 requests tonight? Can we take 5 requests? Do you have a request, Mrs. Wilson?
Yeah, real quick, my sister-in-law, Virginia.
Yes.
They think she might have pneumonia. She was taken to Unity.
Yeah.
And she has blood coming out.
Wow. Virginia and
Stephanie. And Dorothy, she has a UTI, and her friend Tiggs is very ill. She had to take her to the vet.
Okay. Virginia, Stephanie, and Dorothy. All right. Mrs. Primer?
So my dad came home last night.
Okay.